RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
It's been a while since we've talked with Farzan Irani on Money Talks. The wait is over. Farzan, great to have you back. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Paul. Thanks. It's great to be back. Good morning to the listeners as well.
Boy, I think we have to start with the US elections, only days away now, and the eye-watering debt. Oh, my God. OMG. So things are going to move pretty quick in the next week, don't you think, Farzan? What are you expecting to see? And you might want to work in the incredible multi-trillion dollar debt in with your commentary on that.
Yeah, sure, mate. Obviously, as I've kind of predicted before, I'll probably say this again, just so people take it in. And there's a footnote that I mentioned this. This might very well be the last election for the USA, United States of America. Because as you can see, there's a lot of dividing lines. There's a lot of stuff going on. And it's not going to be, it's going to be get ugly between now and January. If Trump wins, they're going to make every effort to make sure he can't be sworn in or possibly even start a global war. So putting that aside, yes, the debt is an issue. Both candidates are making promises of handouts, as we do when we're in government. Let's just borrow money and give it out to anyone who wants it so we can buy some votes, regardless of which country or what politician you're looking at. And the unfortunate thing, mate, out there is the U.S. debt, as I said, it just gets to an exponential stage where it cannot be sustained. But again, the U.S. is the global reserve currency, so there's need for it. Having said that, in the global markets, there's already this thing called Trump trade, where people or economists have worked out what would be Kamala Harris's promises. What does that mean for the budget deficit? How much bigger does it get? And also Trump's one. And it's called a Trump trade because they're saying the deficit's going to go up anywhere between $5 to $7 trillion dollars. And that means they're going to have to print more money, which means the rates are going up, which means bonds are falling. So there's different ways people can gamble on this stuff and make money. It's not just the election. But if someone comes in, how does that affect something else and all of that? As I've mentioned before, geopolitics, macroeconomics, everything is connected. People might have also noticed the New Zealand dollar is starting to get around the 5.97 mark. It's getting weak. So yeah, it's just this U.S. election has a big impact on what's going to happen around the world. And as we mentioned, 2024 was a year with a lot of elections around the world, and a lot of people who are in power are being pushed out. There was an election, I think yesterday or the day before, in Georgia as well. And the ruling party is saying, oh, there must be meddling from Russia. So when the left doesn't get what it wants or they don't get elected, they just say, oh, it must be Russia meddling or something along those lines.
Actually, it's more than that, Farzan. It's also the EU. In fact, the people who came out and demonstrated in Tbilisi, which I think is the capital of Georgia, because the some party with Dream in their name won the election. They're the most popular. The opposition is saying there's something dodgy with the elections. And all the protesters suddenly appear with EU flags like they had them at home waiting to go. Yeah, right.
Yeah, these are all organized.
Aren't they?
Yeah. I've seen a video in America when this Israel-Lebanon fight started where people were given actual bags with everything in it, a T-shirt, a cap, face masks also not to cover their faces so they could not be identified. So, yeah, this is all organized. Let's just put it that way. And as I said, if the left doesn't like what you're saying or anything like that, it's misinformation. But when they do it, it's the correct information. Everybody else doesn't have a point of view.
Right.
It's only them. And if and this is what I said. Trump, the first time around when he won 2016, they miscalculated it because they thought, oh, people will just go with the usual way of doing things, pick between the two evils. But this is a reward from the population of every country saying enough is enough. And after COVID, this has accelerated because, as you see, people in Netherlands, the farmers in Netherlands, or whether it was the truckers in Canada, people are waking up. People are seeing, why are politicians doing something that's not right for us? And exactly, they can see through it. So obviously, the other side, who is common sense or anti-immigration, and saying, like in Germany, the crime rate's gone crazy. The German economy is falling apart. Volkswagen has said they're closing off three plants in it.
Yeah, I heard
first
that.
Time in 87 years. So
yeah,
But in spite of that, they carry on the stupid policies. You know, it's nefarious. It just doesn't make sense. It's too stupid to make sense anymore. And that's when people are saying, we don't want this. And when they lose, they say, oh, it must be Russia, it must be the far right, or you're an extremist, or you're a white supremacist, or whatever label that they throw at you. So it can, something sticks, right? But yeah, coming back to the US, man, it's not just US, it's a global thing. I was looking at some information the other day, as I mentioned to you, just let's go back 10 years back. In March 2014, the global debt was 100 trillion and the global GDP was 80 trillion. So on an 80 trillion GDP, the global debt was 100 trillion 10 years back. Today, the global GDP has gone up to 110 trillion, but the global debt sits at 315 trillion. So that's the debt has, yeah.
Three times the planet's worth.
Exactly.
Can you believe that?
So when people say, but if you dig into a macro little bit, just slowing this down, on an 80 trillion GDP, global GDP, we had debt of 100 trillion. So already, you know that the debt was too much. But now the GDP is 110 trillion, the debt is 315, three times as much. But having said that, so they have to spend, I think I mentioned this once before, there's an economic concept called multiplier effect and all of that. You spend $1 into the economy, it gives you $2 or $3 worth of GDP. When the debt gets past about 85 or 90%, it becomes unsustainable, but also you have to spend about $3 or $4 to get $1 of GDP. So what we see here in May 2024, we got $315 trillion worth of debt to just achieve a global GDP of 110 trillion. So they have to spend more and more and more of fake money, of debt that the government has to spend. And remember, they also count government spending in your GDP, which is adding no productivity to the economy in a way. It's not, yes, it's handouts and stuff like that. But if you take out the public sector spending, the private sector is just not spending. And as I mentioned, there was a problem after the GFC and they've just had to increase their debt exponentially. So this is going to get crazy. It's going to keep going up and up and up. And US is in a safer space compared to other countries, but because it's a global reserve currency and people are buying the US debt. But what people have started noticing recently also, just to finish off on the USA, is in spite of the Federal Reserve in the USA having dropped their interest rate by 50 basis points in their last meeting, their 10-year and 30-year bond rate has actually gone up by 50 basis points. So as I've told you already about this before, the smart money, the hedge funds know that the only way out of this is governments defaulting. And they're seeing that governments are pressing for war. So the common sense is the smart money is not buying the long term because they're never going to get their money back. And as I said, even if they print crap loads of money in the trillions and trillions, the money is going to be worth nothing. So if interest rates go up, they're going to lose their bond value. So everyone's just buying the very short term, 6 months, 2 years, 5 years at the most. And governments have a problem because now the rates are spiking up on the long end, which does affect mortgage rates as well. So mortgage rates in America, even though the Federal Reserve cut rates, is priced for the longer term, and the interest rates have started going up. Something that people in New Zealand should keep an eye on their rates also.
I'm just trying to visualize the size of the global debt. Now, help me out here. 315 trillion is 3.15 million million, is it?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly right.
Whoa.
There's 1,000 million makes a billion and 1,000 billion makes a trillion. A few years back, no one was even talking in the trillions. And this is what I'm saying. Just think about this. You said a million, right? The US debt at the moment, just the interest cost on it is over $1 trillion. Just the interest.
That's more than the defense budget, actually.
Exactly right. And USCBO, which is their budgetary office, has said maybe their debt goes to about 54 trillion. It's about 37 trillion or something along those lines right now, 34 point something. They're saying it's going to go to 54 trillion by 2034. And that is assuming they have no recessions, they have no war, everything goes along as it is. Now, let's round that off to about 50 trillion. And their interest rate at the moment is about 4.75. Let's say 50 trillion at 5%, their interest cost alone for a year would be 2.5 trillion. Do you see how this is not sustainable? Because their tax take in a good year is about 4.5 trillion. So you can't keep paying interest. And if you pay interest, which is more than your defense spending in times of war, which is coming, How do you pay Social Security? How do you pay the veterans? How do you pay all the other stuff? How do you build roads or infrastructure, anything else in the economy, because everything going to interest? And as I said, the war is required for them to expunge the debt. And especially, even if not globally, America could say to China, hey, you just don't pay your enemy, right? In war times, you're not going to go, hey, China, there's your $9 trillion. Thank you very much for lending it off to us.
Of course.
Yeah, people just think, oh, I'm just talking rubbish. But this has happened before. Just understand history. France is in its fifth republic. Spain defaulted on its debt 7 times. So even the USA almost defaulted in the 1896, I think it is, when J.P. Morgan had to bail out the U.S. government with, I think, about $100 million worth of gold. So this happened again and again and again. And as I said, it's just a Ponzi scheme, because no government has ever paid off its debt. They just roll it over and they roll it over. And now, unfortunately, even the budget deficits are getting more. When I say budget deficit, you're taking in 2 million, but you're spending in 3 million. Let's say in New Zealand's case, it might be, I don't know the exact amount, but they're taking in 2 million and they're spending 3 billion. That 1 billion gets added on top because the budget deficit just for those 12 months on top of the debt that they already have.
Right. Yeah. You've been pretty good at predicting things, so I'm going to throw this one at you. In the short time left before next week and the 5th of November, do you see anything weird, wacky, left field, black swan, whatever you want to call it, happening in that time? Or will it flick to, because let's not be naive, we've seen it before, last election and possibly the one before that. And that is, you know, issues with the voting system, let's say. So what do you think will happen in the next week, if anything, Farzan? What are you feeling in your bones?
There could be multiple black swans. And again, I don't know exactly which one. But the things I'm keeping an eye on, as I said, the long-term interest rates have started moving up. If you remember during, I mentioned before COVID, the repo rate had, there was a massive spike in the repo rate. In September 2019, and then magically a month later, we had something called a COVID. So that I'm keeping an eye on. The second thing I'm also keeping an eye on is a false flag event inside the US. They say this, FBI has actually said there's about 1,500 terrorists that have crossed into the American border. Now, the smart heads that I talk with around the world are saying that maybe they're just lying low. And even if not in the next week, it could happen before he's sworn in. But they're looking for maybe, they're saying that the FBI made an announcement, because if there's a terrorist attack inside America or multiple terrorist attacks inside America, the sitting president could declare martial law and that stops elections. But they cannot postpone it past January. Even if the elections go through, they have a reason to push on the digital ID saying we want to know who's who, and because of all this stuff happening. But there is a very possible outcome where even if Trump wins, the Dems will not. Well, remember last year, Mike Pence was the one who was supposed, the vice president at the time, is supposed to count the votes in the House.
Yep.
It could very possibly be that something happens around that. They might have their own January 6th, because they've already said they won't, I don't know what the word is, but they won't, even if he wins, even the count of states and all that stuff.
The result,
So there's a lot of that stuff. And they want civil war. As you mentioned, the movie was pushed out there for a reason. People are divided. And I don't know if you heard yesterday, day for yesterday, there were ballot boxes that had fires in them.
So yeah,
when people
are
doing early voting, they found, so no one's going to accept it. Whoever wins, regardless of which side wins, they're not going to accept it. But the bookmakers, the betting agencies, are saying Trump's going to win this hand down, which if it was normal election, I think would be the case. But as I said, it's going to divide the country so much that this will, most people will stop believing in elections anymore, and people will want to just leave, because even California has come out and said, if Trump wins, we want to secede, we want to leave the United States. So, big divisions.
I'm sure
it's
they will.
Good times coming up.
I'm sure they will leave. You watch, they won't. All right, on to other matters. This is interesting. Kuwait suspends electronic banking for 60,000 with biometrics unregistered. So people are being forced to give their biometric information now to maintain electronic banking. Wow. In Kuwait.
Yeah, I brought this to your attention, right? Because, as I said, I like connecting the dots. So there's different things that will happen in different parts of the world. So what Kuwait did was the government said, hey, you've got till the 30th of September deadline. Every Kuwaiti citizen has to give us their biometric data, your fingerprinting and all of that stuff, just for our digital ID that we're going to have in place to keep you guys safe and secure, right? The 1st of October, there's about 60,000 Kuwaitis who tried logging into their internet banking. They could not log in. They went to an ATM machine. Their card wouldn't work. So literally the next morning, the government had cut access to everyone's bank accounts who had not voluntarily walked in and given their digital information and their biometric data. So this is, as I've said, don't wait. My clients are preparing before the fact. Don't wait, because you might go to sleep one day and you might wake up one morning and they've changed the rules on you. But not only this, they're saying even if you go into a branch, even if you go to a bank branch, they will not serve you till you've actually gone into this government office and actually given them your fingerprint and your biometric data. Then it takes off and then it'll automatically be removed. So what I want people to think through here, the government is working in collaboration with the bank to make this happen. And this is not just for the Kuwaitis. They've given even the expats till the 30th of December, I think, to actually get this done. But as soon as they did this, instead of 600 Kuwaitis, there's about 6,000 Kuwaitis now lining up to voluntarily give up their biometric data. Now, as when I contributed to Alistair Harding's CBDC project, I'm talking about that. As I said, the first step is a digital ID. They have to get the prison in place before they launch the CBDC. So this is exactly how it happens. The government just said, hey, voluntarily do this or you have no access to any of your money. And just carrying on that, I think about in September, I'll bring this to the viewers' attention as well. In September, Israel banned all cash. Well, not all cash, sorry, my mistake, the 200 shekel note. So that is the largest denomination note that they canceled. And they've actually gone further and they want to get rid of all cash substitutes as well, where they're saying gold and silver and other electronic currencies, cryptocurrencies should also be banned. So they're trying to put some legislation in place for that. But imagine, so in New Zealand terms, it's like the New Zealand government coming out and saying, as of tomorrow morning, the 100 and the 50 New Zealand dollar note, which is not valid anymore. As I said, this happened in 2016 in India as well. They canceled the biggest denomination because they keep saying the biggest denomination is used by drug dealers because they want smaller denomination cash circulation to make it difficult for people to hold on to it. So Israel's pretty much gone, and they're just going to abolish 200 shekel banknotes altogether because people said, I'll just carry cash. Yes, to a certain point, till they just have to make an announcement. And let's say you're sitting around with $50,000 cash in your back pocket or under your mattress, it's useless in a month because they'll say, this is the date by which you have to hand it in, if not. So you have to have serious plans for what's coming. And it's, as I said, it's the government's working in cahoot with the banks. The NatWest Bank in the UK has also come out with a carbon footprint tracker. So it's monitoring your food. It literally tells you, no, you can't. So it's called a carbon footprint tracker. You can opt in for it to send you a score every month. But even when you're at the terminal buying something, it says, hey, you're buying beef. Why are you buying this? It also recommends you eat lentils and stuff instead of steak. And you buy, have fewer flights, and you also buy secondhand clothes, or you buy fuel clothes. So it's getting to that stage where it's happening in different parts of the world, different things. Just something to keep an eye on, right?
Yeah, and of course that data is available. Once it's logged, it's available to anyone who it's sold to, right? Because that can happen.
Yeah. This is a playbook from the COVID. COVID was a test experiment, right? So in COVID, the government wanted you to do something, and at that stage they told Facebook and the YouTubes and all of that to kind of keep on you, or you couldn't publish a certain point of view because it's misinformation or disinformation. In fact, Trump's recent interview on the Joe Rogan show, people have said they've tried to find it on YouTube and they can't find it.
Yeah, I've
so
seen that too.
Obviously, certain
they don't want it out there.
Certain media, they don't want it, right? So they're blocking it. But now imagine in this crisis that's coming. And I'll be honest, this is going to happen. Most people will be alive to see this collapse, okay? As I've said, between now and 2032, we'll all be alive. We'll see it. What I've been saying for the year on the radio and what I've known for about 4 years is going to play out in most of our lifetime. So I just hope people are preparing. There's only so many things you can prepare. You can't prepare for everything. But we're going down this pathway, which is kind of dangerous. And they'll say, hey, we're not doing anything. It's the banks who already have to have your ID. Which brings me to one thing. And you saw what happened with Kuwait, right? So the government just said, hey, if you're not giving us this and you don't have access to your bank account, but through the banks, I think I shared it with you, but even Australia, they're coming out with this thing called, it's an age assurance. It's their way of digital ID, where they're saying we need age assurance just to protect our citizens, just to make sure nobody under 18 is watching porn or watching or gambling. It's only for people with adult content, so you have to prove to us that you're 18 plus. And I read through a lot of that information just to understand what they were trying to get to. And there's a company called Connect ID that's working with the Australian government on this. And they're saying, hey, don't worry, we don't even need people to give us the information, because in most cases, because we have most of the information. The banks already know who's 18 plus and who's not. So the government's not even, like Kuwait, the government's not even asking right now to prove your age and who you are and all of that. Think back, New Zealand open banking as well. So now they come out with this open banking where you know exactly the name and the account number, which they're selling as, oh, it's good because you know who you're going to send the money to. But in Australia, they're saying this for adult content. Now, yes, that means a common sense test, but have you been to a movie sometimes or you watch an action movie and they say adult content 18 plus?
Yep.
Because it's action.
Yep.
What if they stop you watching your Netflix and they're going to harass you? You can have no entertainment in your life, just like you couldn't go to a cafe. Yeah, because you couldn't go to
most people COVID.
You couldn't even go out for a cafe. You can't go to a cafe. You can't watch the sports. The Ministry of Ministry of Truth told us, hey, just get a vaccine and get out and enjoy life and go get your haircuts, right? but you needed to do this to be able to enjoy your simple freedoms as a human being, as a normal citizen.
Well, they used to now push it fast in the propaganda. In the propaganda, 1 o'clock every afternoon, that was often said. So if you want to go and do this, if you want to go and do that, if you want to go out to the so-and-so, they used to go through lists of it, relentlessly repeating it. So they drove it into the minds of people that,
exactly.
You know. And people, they bought it, man. They bought it because I heard people say,
people just wanted their liars back. People just wanted their liars back, right? So they were harassed into it.
I get it.
Yeah, because the human mind is very visual, right? So they said, oh, if you want to go play rugby, or if you want to go to that concert, or if you want to, when they say you want to go to that concert, you're thinking, oh, I can't go to concerts. I have that concert coming up. Or I can't catch up with my friends and have coffees. The human mind is very visual. If I say, hey, Paul, don't think of a white elephant. Please don't think about a white elephant. The first thing that comes in front of your eyes is a white elephant.
Yeah.
Exactly my point. So this is why they're doing this. This is all psychological warfare. But this time, it ain't about just the vaccine. So you can say, no, I don't want it. This is your whole bank, your life, your money. Without money, you can't do anything.
You've got no bloody choice.
You have no bloody choice. Exactly. The question is how much of it that you leave in their financial system, because if you leave it all in there, then they control all of you. But if you have an alternative plans of what you're going to do before the fact and or have all that stuff lined up, you're a little bit safer is what I'm just trying to say.
Well, people can go to Success Simplified for a few ideas about that, can't they?
Yeah, they can reach out. I'm actually working through my, I'm just re-energizing my website because I've also got some feedback, mate. I want to be able to reach out the average person, let's just put it that way. And I'm thinking of ways how I could reach out to those people to help them as well, because it's not fair, but also I have to be mindful of my time. I'm just working on a few different things where I can help more people in a collective fashion, or maybe a one-on-one with someone to be able to help me out. But the information, which is the high level stuff, will still be for exclusive clients only. So I'm working on something to be able to help people. But in the meantime, if you still want to get in touch, please get in touch. Because we're getting closer, as I say, TikTok. There's a lot happening between now and January with the sworn in ceremony. As I said, it could be,
that's if they ever make it. You see, I'm worried that they might not even make it to that. And Trump might not even survive to that. And I think it's reasonable to think that because already there have been two attempts. So
yes, and there will be a third.
Oh, man.
It doesn't just have to be before the election. It could be before the swearing in.
Well, that's it. It's that time between the election and it's almost 2 months, you know. So, well, it is 2 months. So,
and I'm just highlighting something to people. As I said last time, when we thought there could have been irregularities in the 2020 election, and some people thought that Trump had won, and there could have been some ballot harvesting and cheating and all of that. There was a few documentaries in America as well. I just want to highlight to people who was there in January. It was Mike Pence, who could have said, no, I'm not allowing this to happen.
Yeah.
But he counted the votes, the electoral votes. That's the word I was looking for. Now who is the current vice president? College. Who is the current vice president? So who is the person who's going to be allowed to count and either say the election is valid or not? Okay, so they could throw a spanner in the works.
Kamala.
Could go to the Supreme Court. Yeah, funny times, mate, funny times. But this is... they say as I said, I mentioned this before, in Chinese, there's a proverb saying maybe live in interesting times. And as I said, we've had the global depressions before, we've had wars before. People who are positioned before the fact got the least amount of hurt. The period we're going into, it is not about getting rich. It is not about going, how
just
much
surviving.
More is my share? Surviving and just making sure you lose the least. Lose the least amount of your earnings and your savings.
Yeah.
That's it, because then you're still richer than most people, right? If you just saw the train coming beforehand, out of the way, as I keep
saying. Step out of the way as much as you can. Hey, I'm just mindful of time. Just to finish off, a local story, ASB and BNZ, following the lead of New Zealand's other major banks, cutting mortgage serviceability test rates, which means they anticipate, a further lowering of cash rates.
That's possible. Obviously, the Reserve Bank might drop interest rates. How much is in question? I think about 50 basis points in November. But the reason I brought this to your attention, I just want to get people to think about this. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand has dropped interest rates from 5.25 down to, I think, about 5.5 to down to about 4.75 in the last two drops. And that's why most of the banks have taken their testing rates. So these are your testing rates. So regardless of what the interest rate is, they say, can you service the mortgage at this interest rate, which is a good practice for banks. So most banks had it at about 8.5 to 8.7-ish%. For example, BNZ had 8.5. They said, okay, we're going to reduce it now to 8. So even though the official cash rate is 4.75, they've reduced it down to 8. ASB's reduced it to 8.1, Westpac 8.15. So you get the picture, right? So when the official cash rate is 4.75, they've reduced the test rates to an 8. So what is the buffer between those? About 3%, 3.5%. Now think back, what was the OCR back when COVID happened? It was 0.25. So let's say even if they had a 3.5, 4, 5% buffer, even let's say they had a 4% buffer, if the official cash rate was 0.25, they might have been checking people's mortgage serviceability at maybe 4.25, 5.25. Now, do you see why people are having problems paying their mortgages? Because with the OCR moving, obviously, this is interest rate plus a buffer. So if the interest rate is 5%, they have a buffer of 3%. But in this case, right now, the interest rates are still sitting in their sixes and sevens. So you just got to understand the buffers help, but if there's a sudden spike, people could get wiped out or people could be seriously struggling to pay their mortgages. Just something I thought I would highlight, because if banks have reduced their test rates by only 50 basis points, what do you assume the test rate would have been when the interest rate or the official cash rate was only 0.25?
Yeah, so the buffer test, serviceability test, still didn't take account of where the rates would go. I'm surprised that they would have missed that.
No, well, why would they miss that? Because they only, well, if you're being offered 3%, they're saying, hey, we're at least trialing it at 6. So we're allowing for the interest rate to double, right? And because at that stage, the mortgages were, I think, around 2.8, 3, 3.5.
Okay, I was thinking of 0.25, right?
No, that's the official cash rate. So they were still selling mortgages at 2, 3 rates, 2,
gotcha.
3, 3.5. So they were adding 3 on top of it. So they could have been trying to service people at 6, 6.5 and saying, oh, wow, this is wonderful. These people are just flying through it. But then after this official cash rate has started rising up, obviously we've seen interest rates are in the 7.5, 8, 8.5.
Yeah.
Man, they thought at 6.5 people were flying through. suddenly, why aren't people flying through? Not only is the economy suffering, but they never allowed for that kind of thing to happen. So, and this is obviously right now, the official cash rate's come down. As I said, most reserve banks are saying, oh, the inflation's coming down. Look, inflation's coming down. That's why we're reducing interest rates. But as I just said, we literally know we're teetering on the edge of at least three wars. In different places.
Yeah,
China's been surrounding Taiwan with ships. North Korea sent 10,000 troops to Russia. Mike, they have to try and start a war to get US included in this before Trump gets sworn in.
That's more likely to be Israel now, isn't it? That's more likely to be Israel New Zealand. Who knows? We might end up there too. The US into a war. Doesn't look so likely now with the Ukraine project, does it?
No, they'll still use Ukraine. So NATO's obviously trying to set up a $100 billion fund because they've come to reality. Somebody tried to assassinate Trump twice. They're going to have to try again, or they think they're going to try again. But just in case he comes and gets sworn in, their backup is they're setting up a $100 billion fund for NATO. So even on day one, if he and RFK go, okay, we're just cutting off the funding straight away, because that's what Trump has said on day one.
Yeah.
I will stop the war. Say the first week. So they're expecting that if Trump manages to somehow get sworn in, he will cut the funding, which means the war stops. And that is why they're setting up a $100 billion fund in NATO. So the money's already still going. If you notice, the money's still going out there to Israel, and it's still going to people in the Middle East also, and it's also still going to Ukraine. It's just something I'd seen the other day also, mate. It was a funny thing. I'll just read this as to finish off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we had these little storms that happened in Florida and stuff?
Yeah, the two.
Every citizen after hurricane. It was a Twitter one. I've actually managed to open it. Yeah. All Americans lost everything to Hurricane Helene, got $750 courtesy of FEMA.
I heard about that.
Now imagine what the United States has given. It's given $24 billion to Ukraine, $11.3 billion to Israel, $1.9 billion to Ethiopia, $1.6 billion to Jordan, $1.4 billion to Egypt, $1.1 billion to Afghanistan, $1.1 billion to Somalia, $1 billion to Yemen, $987 to Congo, $900K to Syria, $9,000 per illegal immigrant that has entered the U.S. And the citizens are getting what? $750 as a one-off.
Yeah, how can you... How can they do that and keep a straight face and keep
right, exactly?
And get away
governments
with.
Are screwing their taxpayers. Governments are screwing their taxpayers. Look at UK, mate. The guy who said something on Facebook has been sentenced, I think, 6 or 8 years in jail. It's getting ridiculous. They don't even care anymore. They know that it's gotten out of hand. And as I mentioned before, governments will get more tyrannical because they know they're losing power. So when people are losing power, what do? They double down.
Yes,
that is the
do.
Pressure under which the citizens will snap. And as of when I said this 6, 8, 9 months back, I said there's revolution coming. Most governments won't survive this into 2032. But there's heart pain coming for most citizens who are still not awake, Most RCR listeners have been listening and they can see things happening. And they don't think it'll happen. Not in New Zealand, not in Australia.
Already just happening. You watch. Just you watch.
Yeah, let's leave it at that.
Farzan Irani, Managing Director, Success Simplified. And we told you how to get in touch before. Farzan, great to catch up again. I hope we can talk again. Who knows what could happen?
Yeah, who knows, mate. Hopefully, as far as Asia is going, as I said, I'll keep coming back every 3 to 4 weeks. I'm happy to contribute.
Wondering if we're not all going to be incinerated or something's going to happen that...
It doesn't get to that stage yet, mate. There could be something like a cyber attack as well. People are attacking American water and power sources and blaming Iranian hackers. Now it's not Russian hackers, but Iranian hackers. So just watch out. I think recently in New Zealand, Australia, some bank accounts weren't working again. So yes, you need to have some cash as backup. Yeah. I think it was about 2 weeks back. So that CrowdStrike thing. So again, as you said, between now and then, don't know. It could be anything.
I think one of the banks went down for a day. Yeah, one of the banks went down for a day, I think, on the weekend, one of the weekend days recently. All right, Farzan.
Yeah, this stuff is happening.
Yep. Great to catch up again. Thanks for beaming in. We'll talk to you in a few weeks, all right?
All right, mate. Take care.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.